It was such a horrific and tragic event, what went down at Westfield Bondi Junction over the weekend, Paddy. It's just, it's dominated news headlines and I can't stop thinking about it or talking about it.
I don't think anyone can, Mazzy.
Yeah, it's a really, it's so tragic.
What it was just a Saturday afternoon, as we all do. You go to the shops, beautiful day, yeah. No matter where you go, and you go, this was inflicted upon those people who went to the shop.
That's right. And one of those people is a good mate of mine, Lisa G, who joins us on the show this morning. Hey, Lisa.
Morning, Lisa.
Morning, guys.
How are you holding up? You were there. You were locked in a store while this chaos was unfolding. Yeah. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, I'm remembering more and more pieces of it as the time goes by. I was caught up in the madness. I was there for the very happy occasion of getting my makeup done for a party. I was attending that night on a boat in Sydney Harbour. So what was going to be an incredible night very, very quickly flipped. I went in to get makeup done. We were commenting, the makeup artist and I, on how busy the centre was at school holidays. The level of excitement and giggly young girls was just beautiful and positive. And then we heard screaming. And the store went silent. But then we all sort of resumed thinking maybe it was girls squealing and having fun. And a few seconds later, we heard gunshots, several of them. And we were told to very quickly move into lockdown. I didn't know what that meant. I remember the doors being slammed quickly, which I'd never seen before. And they were clear doors. So I could see out into the centre, and what had gone from a very full, happy-looking place was just empty. We were very quickly railroaded into a back room, but it was went from go to woe pretty quick.
And, Lisa, how long those doors shut on you? You were all locked inside. For what period of time were you there for?
We weren't even allowed to stay in the shop. We were pushed into a back herded into a back staff room, which was quite small. About an hour we were there. We didn't know what was going on. There was just this loud alarm that continued over and over and over again. We sat in this room with a group of people that we didn't know. It was small and there was silence, but there was people hyperventilating, crying. I asked if there was water in the back room. We passed bottles around to others. We could see a camera pointing out into the centre, and all we could see was an empty Westfield. We tried to call our families. We couldn't get through because the reception was dodgy.
When you were ushered into this back room, was there anyone communicating with you guys about what had taken place, or was it more just an order of we need to go into lockdown and everything will be explained at a separate time?
There was no instructions other than get in the back room. We had heard gunshots. That was something we'd all heard. So our minds went straight to, there's a shooter. Oh. Is he coming in? We don't know what's going on. We just knew we had to get into this back room and stay safe. We got a whole lot of boxes and barricaded ourselves in case someone got in. We sat together and just looked around for those people that were losing it and just tried to communicate that we were all together, we were safe. We didn't know we were safe, but we felt a bit safer seeing that camera because we could see if anyone did enter the store. I don't know what we were going to do if we saw someone enter, but it gave us perhaps a false sense of security. We tried to call. I went down my favourites list because I wanted my family to know that I was okay. And I tried my husband, and he was on the golf course, so he didn't pick up, God love him. And then I got on to my daughter, who's 36 weeks pregnant, and she picked up. And she said all she could hear was screaming of sirens. And I was quite calm until that stage, and then I lost it a little bit, which I regret. But I just said, I love you so much. I'm safe. I'm in lockdown. There's been a shooting. And she said, I love you too, Mum. And then we got disconnected. And I tried to send a text. I'm not great on the old text messages. It wouldn't go through. It was green. It was, I don't know. I was saying to the girls beside me, how do I send this so that it goes through? And I just sent a message to the family saying, safe, love you all.
Oh, Liz. And the thing is, it's the total fear of the unknown. Because you don't know.
Absolutely.
And I know, I was talking to people yesterday and they said, oh, we would have done this, would have done that.
Oh,
you would have no idea.
You don't know.
It's good when all the news, when the news comes through, you know, oh, this happened, that happened. Mm. But as you're there, you're sitting there in a shop going, I have no idea. No communication with you.
And no control.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, that's a big one for people. It's like you're put in a situation and you don't know how it's going to play out and you're not in control of the variables. And then when you were, when you guys were let out of that room, what was the instruction? Was it just get to safety, get out? Were you escorted out by police?
No, we were, there was a very loud message on over the sirens, which continued. I assume it was Westfield. I don't know.
Right.
And it said, you are all to leave the store now and run. And I said to everyone, I don't think we should go anywhere. What if that's the shooter who's now got the, and he's telling us to run out? That was the next communication. And I said to everyone, I think we should stay here a bit longer. We're safe. We're in the back room. Yeah. We can see. Mm. And they said, no, we have to go. So we stopped. We moved all the boxes and I went and grabbed my bag. They opened the door a little bit. I didn't know where I was running to. I didn't know whether to go left, to go right, to go to my car, we were just told to run and run fast. I didn't know what I was going to see, who I was going to see. I saw a policeman. He pushed me out, and I hoped it was in the right direction. And then I just sprinted and got out, and there was – it's funny, things are coming back. And I remember now saying there was people in red shirts. Now I realize it was blood. We were running past. There was people screaming. There was babies. There was SWAT teams. There was I've never seen so many fire engines and police cars and ambulances and we just ran. And I finally got reception. I rang my husband. I said, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where to go. Mm. And he said, just run down to Queen's Park. Just keep moving. He said, I know now there was a guy with a knife. He's been shot. Tell people as you go past. So I was just running past saying, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Mm. Everyone's okay. Just keep running. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. And that's what we did. And my husband picked me up and that's when I lost it.
Yeah, I bet.
Lost it.
Of course he did.
Yeah, and there is evil in this world, but by God, it's outweighed by the good.
All the good.
And that is hearing that story from you, from what you've gone through. Lisa, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks,
for
hon.
Reliving that memory and letting us know. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And
Maz, can I say quickly, you know how many people said to me, don't you want to drink after yesterday because we both share our sobriety?
Yeah.
I said, not a bloody chance.
No way.
My sensational sobriety because of that. Craziness. So.
It makes sobriety an even easier choice, right, Lise?
It really does.
Good on you, babe. Well, you
thanks,
stay
Lisa.
Strong and we love you heaps. Thanks for being on the show, babe.
Thanks.